Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. Today's dars is so important for those who are involved in dars and tadris, ta'lim and ta'allum, reforming deeds, one's islahul amal, while engaged in studies or teaching. So this is the topic today, reforming the deeds, islah of one's amal, while engaged in studies or teaching. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi's quote, and he's been quoted by his student Maulana Isa alayhi rahma. It's written in the book Anfas Isa. Much dhikr and correction of deeds, islahul amal, are part of the path. Much dhikr and correction of deeds are part of the path. There are two things on this path: much dhikr and correcting deeds. There are two things on this path: much dhikr and correcting deeds. As for much dhikr, this is not proper during studies when a person is a talib. Besides, the objective of much dhikr is achieved by students during studies, provided they observe taqwa. As for reforming deeds, it is fard in every situation. For a talib al-ilm, much dhikr is not proper during his studies. The objective of much dhikr is achieved by the talaba, by the students, during studies, provided they observe taqwa. But as for reforming deeds, islah, it is fard in every situation, and students are no exception. Talaba are no exception. So it must be begun. Study the Qasdus Sabil twice and say what you deduce about the path and ask about the method of reformation. Turn into a sheikh. The aim of taking bay'ah, swearing allegiance to a sheikh, is to gain two things. The first is much dhikr, which turns the mind always to Allah and causes the tongue to mention Him always. The second thing is islah of oneself, islah and correction of one's amal, deeds, which is to do the correct deeds, keep oneself away from sin, al-ma'siyah, keep away oneself from sin, disobedience, and every evil, and to observe every fard. This is the purpose, that one turns to a sheikh, takes bay'ah, because it is for correction of deeds. Besides much dhikr, the other one is correction of deeds, which is to keep oneself away from sin. This is what Islam means, keeping oneself away from sin, disobedience, and every evil, and to observe every fard. Not just every fard, but to observe every fard, wajib, sunnah, and mustahab. There's an inclination towards good deeds. These are the two things one gets on becoming a sheikh's disciple. These are the two things one gets on becoming a sheikh's disciple. I remember my principal, Bari Hazrat Rahmatullah, used to say that don't leave out a mustahab thinking it is only a mustahab, because you don't know which deed and amal Allah is going to accept. And don't think that a sin is just a small sin, or it is makruh, or this, because you don't know which little sin it is Allah is going to take you to task for. So, much dhikr not proper. During student days, during the talaba days, much dhikr is not proper. Should one who is engaged in the pursuit of studies also pursue these two things after allegiance to a shaykh and taking bayah, should he pursue both of them? The Mawlana Thanwi alayhi rahma wa nawwarallahu markadahu wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim ameen does not recommend much dhikr at this stage. It is not suitable for a student, a talib, to engage in a regular routine of invocation and duas and devotional exercises, but he should concentrate on his studies. The objective is achieved anyway. He will not be deprived of the benefits of much dhikr. He will achieve them during his pursuit of studies, provided he practices taqwa and sincerity. Taqwa and ikhlas. The former, which is zikr, is to refrain from sins of the eye. The former here, of course, going back to taqwa. What's the purpose of taqwa? Fear of Allah, piety. The former is to refrain from sins of the eye. That is what taqwa means. Piety, righteousness, fear of Allah means to refrain from sins of the eye, the ear, and the tongue, etc. And sincerity, ikhlas, means to study or to teach, dars and tadris, only for Allah's sake. The studies and teaching will then stand for much dhikr, and the purpose will be achieved. The studies and teaching will then stand for much dhikr, and the purpose will be achieved, provided that both are done with taqwa and ikhlas. But at the same time, the student, the talib, must make some dhikr. However, the student must not suppose that he need not make any dhikr whatsoever. What he is told to avoid is much dhikr, not dhikr itself. The principle is لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَال. That's the asl from the usul. Listen to the principle. لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَال. There's a demand for every situation and every place. لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَال. There is a demand for every situation and every place. Students, talaba, have to engage in some dhikr and offer some nafil worship. A hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, and what a beautiful hadith and saying of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam this is, and it is about the night, which is a great gift from Allah. It's about the night. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tadarusul ilmi sa'atan min al-layl khayrun min ihya'iha. Tadarusul ilmi sa'atan min al-layl khayrun min ihya'iha. Pursuit of knowledge, studies, research, mutala'a, tadarusul ilm, sa'atam min al-layl, for some portion of the night, sa'atam min al-layl, for a part of the night, some portion of the night, khayrun min ihya'iha, is better than keeping awake all night. It is better than ihya'ul-layl, keeping awake all night. And this hadith comes from Sunan Darimi. If anyone offers the tahajjud all night, then it is better for him to do scholastic work for a little part of the night. Don't just do ibadat whole night. Do some studies too, some chapter of ilm. If anyone offers the tahajjud all night, then it is better for him to do some ilmi scholastic work for a little part of the night, provided he is sincere. The hadith does not say that he should never in his life offer the tahajjud and only engage in studies. The hadith doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he should never ever in his life offer tahajjud and only engage in studies. If that was implied, then the Sahaba and their successors, the Tabi'een and other religious men would never have offered voluntary worship, nafil, optional worship, but they were. But they were careful to observe voluntary worship too. So this is so important, especially for those involved in teaching and dars and tadris, that the night. Tadarusul ilmi sa'atan min al-layl khayrun min ihya'iha. That pursuit of knowledge for a portion of the night is better than waking the whole night and keeping awake whole night. If one keeps awake at night and one does ibadat, he should include some ilm also too. And it should not just be only ilm and no ibadat too. Those who dedicate themselves to pursuit of knowledge. In fact, there were two groups. Those who made knowledge and ilm their aim of life, and those who dedicated themselves to optional worship. Two groups, one on ibadat and one on ilm. However, the former's life, that is those who dedicated their life towards the acquisition of ilm, the former's life, referring to them, was not entirely bereft of optional worship. It wasn't bereft of that and void of it. They offered superrogative salah, nafil salah, tahajjud, according to their position, and their main task did not occupy them all the time. And this is so important for us to understand, especially when we are connected to dars and tadris and learning and teaching. The excellence of the learned over the devout, or the excellence of the alim over the abid. However, the ulama of today remember much of the Prophet's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what saying of his? Fadlul alim ala al-abid ka fadli ala adnakum. Fadlul alim ala al-abid ka fadli ala adnakum. The learned man has as much excellence over the abid and the devout as I have over the lowest of you. Hadith of Tirmidhi under Kitabul Ilm. So the ulama of today remember much of this hadith. Fadlul alim ala al-abid ka fadli ala adnakum. Another hadith tells us, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Faqihun wahid, one faqih, one learned man, one jurist, ashaddu ala shaitan, is harder on the shaitan, min alfi abid, than 1,000 worshippers. Faqihun wahid, one faqih, one person with understanding, knowledge, ashaddu ala shaitan, is heavier and harder on the shaitan, min alfi abid, than 1,000 worshippers. Again from Tirmidhi under Kitabul Ilm. They remember these type of hadith. Fadlul alim ala al-abid ka fadli ala adnakum. Faqihun wahid ashaddu ala shaitan min alfi abid. So people like me, Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, says, people like me remember very much such a hadith. We remember it. But we must remember also that the learned men or the scholars in these ahadiths are those who observe some optional worship also. It's not just books and dars and tadris and no optional worship. They must remember that the learned men of scholars in these ahadiths that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about are those who observe some optional worship also. And you know what? What's the other side of the coin? And the devout men, the abid that he's speaking about, the devout men are those who have not neglected learning at all. It works both ways. The devout men spoken about in the ahadith are those who have not neglected learning at all. The alim and the abid, the scholar and the devout. Allama Ibn Khaldun, rahmatul alayhi, has explained this hadith in his Muqaddama. Ibn Khaldun, alayhi rahma. Though he is known as a mu'arriq, a historian, the famous Ibn Khaldun, as a mu'arriq. So he has explained this hadith. Though he is known as a historian and not as a devout, as an abid. He writes, the learned man, the alim in this hadith, is one who has made pursuit of knowledge, talabul ilm, his occupation day and night. Yet he is not without some worship. The devout man in the hadith, the abid, is he who is engaged in worship day and night, ibadat, day and night, but he is not without knowledge. For if such a man is without knowledge and just an abid and no ilm, then his worship is meaningless. His worship is meaningless, bidun ilm. And if a learned man, an alim, neglects some worship, then his knowledge makes no sense. Knowledge without practice, ilm, al-ilmu bidun al-amal, knowledge without amal, ilm without amal, and obedience is meaningless. Knowledge without practice and obedience is meaningless, ma'adhallah. Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayhi says further, if a learned man, a scholar, an alim, is fully occupied in pursuit of ilm and knowledge and pays no attention whatsoever to worship and to correct his manners and deeds, and if a devout man is occupied in worship and turns not to learning and they are compared, then the devout man is more excellent than the learned. It's so very important. If a learned man, says Ibn Khaldun, is fully occupied in pursuit of ilm, knowledge, pays no attention whatsoever to worship and to correct his manners and deeds, and if an abid, a devout man, is occupied in worship and turns not to learning, just worship alone and turns not to learning, and they are compare both of them, then the devout man, the abid, is more excellent than the learned. So we have to understand, you know, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fadlul alim ala al-abid ka fadli ala adnakum. Hence, the devout man and the learned man in the hadith, both of them, we can understand, have something of each other in them. They have something of each other in them besides their main characteristics. Otherwise, even the devil had knowledge. Even the shaitan had knowledge. In the verses of the Quran, when Allah speaks about the Jannah, what does he say about it? It's a reward for whom? Jaza'an bima kanu ya'lamun? No. It's a jaza. Allah has granted this and Allah has given them a jaza because of what they were knowing. Nowhere in the Quran you will find a verse like that. You will never find jaza'an bima kanu ya'lamun. You will find jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun. So even the shaitan had great knowledge. And in fact, it is so important for those with ilm to really get down into some dhikr and ibadat, otherwise it could be detrimental, ma'adhallah. He was a great scholar, Ibn Khaldun. Hence, if a learned man does not pay attention to deeds and to keeping away from sin and is involved in pursuing his base desires, then his knowledge, his ilm, is of no use. Bekar. The Quran says about him, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Watlu alayhim naba'a alladhi atainahu ayatina. Watlu alayhim naba'a alladhi atainahu ayatina. Fansalaqa minha. فأتبعه الشيطان فكان من الغاوين واتل عليهم نبأ الذي آتيناه آياتنا فانسلخ منها فأتبعه الشيطان فكان من الغاوين. Recite to them, do the tilawat to them, the naba, the news, the tiding of him to whom we gave the knowledge of our revelations. Alladhi atainahu ayatina. Our ayats came to him. To whom our ayats came means to whom we gave the ilm, the knowledge and understanding of our ayat and revelations. But fansalakha minha. But he withdrew himself from them. He withdrew himself from them. So what happened? فَأَتْبَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. So shaitan followed him up to mislead him. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. And he became one of the perverted. The gawin, which is gai, is opposite of rushd. Those who are misguided. Such a scholar, such an alim, cannot have excellence over a devout man, even if the devout man has no ilm. Cannot have excellence over him. Rather, the latter, the devout man, the abid, is superior to the alim. Anyway, Maulana Thanawi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that they get from pursuit of knowledge that which is expected from much dhikr. When it is done properly with taqwan, ikhlas. But they must not neglect dhikr altogether. The much dhikr made by the devout will be represented for the scholar, the alim, in his studies and teachings and scholarly work once it is done with ikhlas and taqwa. You get the objective from little. My father, Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi, Rahmatullah alayhi wa nawwarallahu marqadahu wa nafana bi ulumihim ameen, once wrote to Maulana Thanawi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Mufti Shafi is writing to Maulana Thanawi that he spent his days and nights in filling up pages upon pages while he saw the men in Maulana's khanqah occupied deeply in dhikr and other devotional exercises, which he was deprived of except for a little practice. So he's feeling a how. He's seen the men in Maulana's khanqa with so much of dhikr and devotional exercises, and he is deprived of that. He just does a little of it. The Maulana answered that the result that they get from much in my khanqa was received by him, my father, in his little effort of dhikr and ibadat. For the elders, the akabir, they have said, "Kullu muti'in lillah, fa huwa dhakir qawlul mashayikh, qawlul akabir." Isn't it so, Mujahid? "Kullu muti'in lillah." Every muti, everyone who is obedient to Allah, "fa huwa dhakir," he is a dhakir. So obedience is zikr. Kullu muti'in lillah, fa huwa dhakir. If there is sincerity and taqwa, then all such work is dhikr. Isn't it, Mujahid? Is still fresh after a whole day? MashaAllah. So, you know, sometimes you're doing a class and teaching a class, and could you convey that blessings of the class to the soul of some deceased person? Reward consigned against Qutbi. Qutbi is a book they teach in the madrasa, part of the syllabus, Qutbi. Someone requested the Sheikh ul-Hind, the great Sheikh of India, Maulana Mahmud ul-Hassan, is known as Sheikh ul-Hind. Rahmatullah alayhi, someone requested him to consign reward, to do Isalu Thawab, consign reward to one of his dead relatives, requested Maulana to do that. And Maulana Sheikh ul-Hind was teaching from Qutbi at that time. So he said, we will read this lesson from Qutbi and consign the reward, do Isalu Thawab, ask Allah to take the blessings to your relative. The man said in surprise, how is it to consign a reward on that, on Qutbi? A reward is consigned against recital of Quran or Bukhari. He said, there is no difference between Qutbi and Bukhari. The same objective is derived from Qutbi as from Bukhari. And this is the Qawl of Sheikh ul-Hind. So the same reward will be forthcoming from it, inshallah, if the intention is sincere. Correction of deeds. So we spoke about the dhikr and the alim and the abid. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi also said, as for reformation, so when a person takes bayat with a sheikh, it is for two things, for the dhikr, to be introduced to much dhikr, and it is for islah, reformation of deeds. As for islah and reformation of deeds, that is fard, compulsory, in any condition. Whether he is a talib, whether he is a alim, whether he is a abid, it is fard to do your islah. No exemption is afforded even to students. So they must make a beginning now. And this is the problem that is plenty talaba are faced with. They pay no focus and attention towards their islah. So they must make a beginning now. Everyone has to rectify his deeds. When a student goes to a sheikh, he does not enroll him as a disciple, but tells him that he would reconsider his case when he finishes his studies. But some students are enrolled as disciples and murids of a mentor. The fact is that they are not enrolled with the duties of regular practices of invocation, etc., lest their studies be hampered. However, they have to reform their deeds and manners. There is no difference between a student, a talib, and a non-student disciple in this regard. Study Qasdus Sabil. The Maulana said further, the Qasdus Sabil should be studied two times. And say what you deduce about the path and ask about Islam. The Qasdus Sabil is the work of the Maulana in which he has delved on the purpose of allegiance to a sheikh, bay'ah, and he has delved on the topic of tasawwuf, Qasdus Sabil. Some Persian and Arabic words are found in this work, making it difficult for the common reader. My respected father revised it into simple language under the title of Tashilu Qasdus Sabil. The Maulana suggested that this work should be perused twice so that students get it well into their mind. They should keep their sheikh informed of their progress and their action thereon and seek his advice on further action. Correction through letters. Allah had enabled Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi to make revision in custom. He had initiated correspondence in an amazing manner into this field. Before that, much attention was not paid to exchange of letters. Disciples had to sit with the sheikh for many days together before they managed to get the desired reformation. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi realized that people did not have that much time with them anymore. And if the procedure was not revolutionized, they would fail to pay attention to Islah and Reformation. So he introduced the system of correspondence, and this was as good as suhba, companionship. In fact, even those who have the Sheikh's company resort to correspondence when they cannot discuss something orally and they get the Sheikh's guidance in writing. They act on that later on. There is much blessing in that. Tarbiyatu salik, the tarbiyat and training of the salik, an example of correspondence. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi's book, Tarbiyatu salik, is an extraordinary work on tasawwuf. Tarbiyatu salik. If we can allegorically put your hands on that. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi's book, Tarbiyatu salik, is an extraordinary work on tasawwuf. It is a collection of letters from people of different walks of life about their feelings and conditions and the Maulana's guidance on that. We cannot really give it a fair esteem. Only those who encounter this experience value it, and they know the gem that is found therein. The Maulana made a distinction between the real and the fake. Allah had given the Maulana, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Maulana Thanwi, Allah has blessed him. Allah had given him a deep, deep understanding of religion, tasawwuf, sharia, and tariqah. That's why it is the qawl of many ulama that he was the mujaddid of the century. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Abu Dawud. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah yab'asu fi hadhihi al-umma ala ra'si kulli miyati sanatin may yujaddidu hadha ad-din." Or kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every 100 years Allah sends one to do some tajdid and to revive this deen. And the qawl is that Maulana was the mujaddid. Allahu alam bis sawab. Allah had given Maulana a deep understanding of religion, tasawwuf, sharia, fatwa, tariqah. These letters are very useful, and Allah has placed much blessing therein in the book Tarbiyatu Salik. May Allah show us His mercy and guide us to act on these teachings. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?